When it comes to lavish beauty treatments, nobody's on the cutting edge more than wealthy celebrities who will do anything to keep their faces from falling apart like an evil Nazi gazing upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Indiana Jones movie. If you had all the money and access in the world to experiment with beauty treatments, would you cover your face in gold, inject it with your own blood, or slather your own visage in bird poop?
Today, our bestie Estee, Stacey Yockey, joins us to take a look at outrageous beauty facials the rich and famous try out to look their best. Plus, the unicorn robber gets arrested.
An anti-vaxxer politician from Italy gets chickenpox.
A new study says making fun of your partner can make your relationship stronger.
And which Sesame Street Muppet is the most delicious? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of the support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Become a member and listen to 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or put a tip in our tip jar and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you for your support. One time I got myself a facial to try to rejuvenate this haggard old face. And I asked the esthetician, a very nice woman who was very, she was a little playful. She was a little funny. And I said to her, I was like, does this facial come with a release? She said, absolutely. And slapped my face.
Oh, she laughed at you? I like her.
So you got like one of those Thai massages, right?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. Okay. No.
Because I get a lot of my friends making jokes about, oh, you do facials?
Yeah.
That's like a typical joke I get. And I think it's funny. I'm like,
today, our gal pal, Stacey Yockey, who is an esthetician, pole dancer, people person, fitness guru, life coach,
yoga enthusiast,
she's
bad
here,
yogi.
Back on the show, not to talk about her early days as a pole dancer in Manhattan clubs, but to talk about the outrageous facials people get when they have too much money
and time.
You've worked in a lot of gentlemen's clubs where you see guys making it rain, right?
Yeah.
And that part of it is like when you sometimes have like excess income, it sort of burns a hole in your pocket. For cisgender heterosexual men, they usually spend it in sort of cars or yachts or entertainment in your case, right?
Yes.
But when it comes to usually like queer people or cisgendered women, it's usually spent on beauty treatments.
Right. Or a lot of men who have acne problems, they will come in too. I have a lot of men clients.
A lot of men come in,
and
too.
And they tip better, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, definitely.
And I'm sure some of them come out at the behest of their wives or other partners, right?
Oh, that was actually... Yeah, well, if they come with their wives and they see that I'm giving them a facial, one lady gave me, like... Because her boyfriend or husband, and she was, like, 9 months pregnant. I've always gotten really good tips. And I did a facial on her. Didn't do anything different than I do on everybody else, man or woman. Extra service because I knew she kind of gave me a dirty look after I saw that. And that's what I have to do. I have to make up for that one, And so I did. And then she gave me, this is the only time this has ever happened. I get really good tips. She gave me two silver dollars in an envelope. That's how we get our tips. So it wasn't just
like.
She
was like a Spanish pirate.
She was evil. Well, it's not like two quarters would have been
the Sacagawea dollars, right?
But if you go that out of your way to get two silver dollars
like
to insult me, it made me laugh.
Well, they're not like the silver.
No, they were $2. It was $2.
I thought she was a pirate carries a bag of coins.
For no reason. Because I'm super nice giver. A wonderful facial.
You know what is she? She bought something at one of the vending machines, and she got those dollars back.
But if you go out of your way to try and insult someone, that's actually more funny to me than like.
You should have taken them and thrown
like,
it. Like
you're more angry at this than I am. Like
now, how did you get into the beauty business?
I started actually when I was in New York. My first job was Macy's on 34th Street. That was my first cosmetic job.
You were working in retail.
Right, retail. So that was my first experience with that. And it was really basic stuff. And that's how I started. And that's how I started makeup, too. And then, you know, like, then I got into the dancing for extra loot. And
you're like, if I'm going to entertain during the day, might as well entertain at night.
Right.
We'll make some big bucks.
But I'm so glad that I did continue with, like, other skills, because I know of some girls that, you know, after a while, and it's not, you know, they can't dance anymore.
They don't want to.
They don't gain skills, and then they're stuck. I know a few girls like that. Yeah, so I'm glad I kept working.
And part of it is, like, you're sort of, you know, your brother is a drag queen, and in some regards, you're also very attracted to transforming your appearance.
Yes.
Using any means necessary.
Any means. That's why I never got tatted up. Like, a lot of my friends are all tatted, you know, tatted up. Because I change my look to the occasion.
Yeah.
So if I, like, wear a formal dress and have my arm all tatted up, which I think looks cool, but in a formal dress, I don't want to look like, even though I could cover it if I wanted to, because I can cover tattoos, but I like to change my look. So if I tattoo myself, I'm stuck with one look. I feel like.
You have a clean palette.
Yeah, I need a clean palette. I could always paint it on. I mean, I did that for Halloween. You helped.
Well, you can also just buy those temporary tattoos and put them on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in the salons that you've sort of worked in, I imagine that, you know, normal facials usually involve some type of abrasive compound, a moisturizing element. A regular everyday facial is basically just exfoliating the skin and moisturizing it, right?
Well, it's like a simple basic facial. Mm-hmm. I would not use the word abrasive because we don't want that.
What is the correct term to use?
Exfoliation.
Exfoliation.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's two different forms, and I don't really like the. I particularly, this is just my own personal opinion as an esthetician. We're all different.
Mm-hmm.
But the more abrasive, like scrubbies, like those apricot scrubs, those are also
sugar
bad.
Sugar scrubs.
They're too harsh on the skin. They scratch the surface, create tiny little surface tears in the skin.
So you don't want to do that.
No, because it compromises the lipid barrier that protects your skin against the sun and pollution. And so you don't want a harsh, abrasive thing.
So you want to burn it off.
You could
scalding hot oil.
Alpha hydroxy acid or beta hydroxy acid seems like it's a big deal, but they have low percentages and we know how to use them, and they're actually more mild than the abrasive ones.
What about those glycolic peels?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Why isn't the skin naturally a self-cleaning oven? Why does it require any maintenance in the first place?
Our skin goes through a desquamation process. So we should.
What was that word?
What?
Yeah, I know.
Say it again.
Desquamation.
It means it sheds.
It sheds constantly, right.
Yeah. Like your dog's hair.
Right. Or our hair. Like we see our hair fall. So we shed the skin, and then this is also what happens when we break out, is the dead skin is left there. It kind of causes a little bit of a dull look because the dead skin is kind of dull. It's old. And then
when you exfoliate
it, your skin like won't be clogged because the dead skin will clog your pores and make you break out. You also look like you have more glow because the dead skin is kind of dulling. So you just get a little fresh glow from exfoliation, a mild one.
So in terms of exfoliation, it's good to sort of be gentle about it. And then in terms of moisturizing, why not just put on a moisturizer at the end? Why do we need to see an esthetician or any kind of beauty bars? Can we just do this stuff at home? And
you can
most people
do it at
right?
home.
Yeah.
But it's really good to get a professional's advice because a lot of the things out there people are doing wrong. They may be using the wrong product. Mm. So I do a consultation before to see. And almost all the time they're doing something that's not working for them. So usually people that come to me have a concern, you know, and then we can address it.
And have you worked in a clinic that had something that was, you know, a high, what is it, Mark, in the restaurants when you serve bruschetta? It's a...
like a high markup.
A high markup item.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't cost a lot to make, but you go like, this has gold in it. Gold.
You know what? I am a really... I'm good at sales, but because I'm honest, I will not make things look like they're bigger than they are. Yeah. I don't like say, hey, this is going to make you, your pores disappear. Because that's impossible. Your pores, you're born with pore size, just sure. like how many hair follicles you have. So any product that says we're going to it can make them look smaller with peels, but I don't claim things that can't be done.
Now, for a lot of blogs on the internet, YouTube channels, beauty content is very, very popular and very profitable. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's, you know, in 2019, in this day and age, there's a lot of people going around just sort of like seeking ways to look better because we have so many ways to photograph ourselves now. And I always tell people,
like you always have to be camera ready, right?
Well, I always just say, listen, you know, your friends and family love you for who you are. So really, if you're getting any kind of like expensive beauty treatments, it's usually for Instagram or it's for people who don't know you yet. And there's nothing wrong with like treating yourself. If you don't treat yourself, you cheat yourself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, be a little sane about it and hold back a bit to don't feel like you have to spend
$200 like I just fortune. Spent today.
You spent $200 on beauty products.
But here's
today. Oh, my God.
I was out, though. It was a necessity.
You got to pamper yourself.
And
well, don't mention any brands. But what did you buy? What did you spend?
So what did I buy today? So I bought because I was almost out of everything. So
yeah.
I bought a vitamin C, which is great
serum,
which goes underneath your moisturizer day with SPF. I bought for night. I bought a peptide and retinol and a little bit richer moisturizer.
And the retinol is basically
excellent.
It's
best anti-aging.
Anti-aging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a derivative of vitamin A.
Right.
And then I bought, what else did I buy? Vitamin C. Oh, daily hydrator. Hyaluronic acid is the best serum to put underneath the moisturizer for extra water
that really
hydration.
Plumps everything up.
Plumps it up because it's water hydration, not oil.
Mm.
And so if you search the internet, you go on Cosmopolitan, all these blogs, there's all this weird, far out, outrageous advice on facials. And a lot of it is just dead wrong.
Oh, yes.
And the most shocking one I'm going to start off with is Cosmopolitan every now and then says, ladies, treat yourself after the lovemaking process and let the gentleman ejaculate all over your face.
A true facial.
What?
A true
the pearl
facial.
Necklace.
The pearl necklace. And to me, I'm like, this is the number one question. I know we get a lot of questions here on Feast of Fun. And we talk a lot about all kinds of topics. In 14 years of doing this show, the number one question we get asked is
does it help?
Is ejaculate, is sperm good for my skin or not? And the answer for that is absolutely not.
I wouldn't think so.
It's great for making babies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not nutritious it's not rich in protein. It's rich in chlorine, actually. That's why you smell kind of like a pool when somebody ejaculates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
And it's meant to balance the wall of the woman's vagina, whether you're gay or straight or whatever. But and so the sperm on your skin actually has a tendency or potential to irritate it.
Oh, okay.
It'd be like putting, a mild bleach on your skin.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. So that's not good for your skin. If you are interested in that kind of quality, one good home remedy or, facial you can give yourself is an egg white facial.
Oh, egg white would work. I'm not a big fan of, like, I know everybody's into the organic stuff, but honestly, I'll do organic for that organic client that wants that. And but as far as I'm really results driven, so I want the stuff that like causes change in the skin, and that is synthetically made. Even the retinate, which is a vitamin A, still has to be synthetically made in a lab.
Have you guys ever been asked or wanted someone to ejaculate on their face or vice versa
for
beauty benefits or like, oh, I want this because I've been with guys who want to drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They want to swallow it.
Yeah.
Well, there's some people that want it on their face. They want it on their back. They want it inside them. They want it,
Well, yeah, anywhere.
And part of it is I think that's just tied to the intimacy, the excitement of the sex. It's not like they're going to do it.
They don't want it for a beauty treatment or anything.
No.
Like that. Now, are you a pimple popper? When they come, I do
extractions, but you can only do like, I don't recommend at home because we prep the skin, soften the skin, open the pores, we close them to make sure it's not, you don't break out right again after we open them. So we do it in a special way. So I don't recommend people doing it at home, but.
So if I have a real big juicy zit, go to an esthetician.
Well, it depends. Like if it's so obvious where it's like ready to go. Mm-hmm. Then you could do it in a certain way where it wouldn't scar the outside of that.
Okay.
That's what you got to be careful with, not scarring the outside of that.
Okay. And is there some techniques to
pushing down and pushing all the way up and making sure everything's out or it'll just get reinfected.
Okay. So get drain it completely.
Completely. Or it'll just get reinfected.
But it's a good idea to take a hot shower or put a warm rag
on it.
Mm-hmm. You could put your, you can do facials at home, but I don't recommend like the holistic stuff very much. Like the big trend now, and it kills me, is the coconut oil.
Mark's a huge fan of
coconut oil. Coconut oil acts like a barrier. It doesn't absorb into your skin like I mentioned the serums. They're tiny little molecules, tiny little, it absorbs into the skin really nicely, and the moisturizers works great but over it.
What about like something like when they say like when you do those glycolic peels, like they say you should like do that, they want you to prep your skin, dry it out with alcohol, wait a half an
hour. Alcohol.
Well, my thing says dry it out with alcohol, and then you put the peel on
or an astringent of some kind,
and then you because you want to get rid of the oil first,
right? Degrease,
and so then you do
but not alcohol.
Well, what would you use?
Citric acid or witch hazel or something like that.
An astringent.
Something that would
that's
just
degrease. That's formulated for your skin.
Well, everybody on YouTube
sea
is
breeze.
Using alcohol.
YouTube's BS.
But you can buy Sea Breeze at
alcohol
any
will dry the
and you're
skin
done.
And that protective layer of oils,
I think that's the reason why you want to do it. You want the skin dry so that the peel removes that top layer, isn't it?
I
don't. So that's not my point.
That's
my
why
point
we use professional.
They say afterwards, though, like, so after you do the peel, though, they recommend you use some kind of oil on your face.
I like to put a calming mask on because it does get a little red, and then just like moisturize the shit out of it for the next couple of days.
Okay.
So today we're going to be looking at the outrageous advice, bad, crazy, far out facials. Sperm facials don't work. That's free. That we found on the internet, and the one that I see all over the internet, which I was really surprised about, this was gold facials. The average price is $1,600.
Wow.
Yes, I did a little research on this. Now, Peter Thomas Roth has a gold facial that you can buy at Ulta. It's awesome. It's very nice.
Isn't gold bad for your skin because it's a non-reactive metal,
right?
And putting non-reactive metals on your skin has a tendency, one, to irritate it or to be abrasive.
Right. Well, the products now are different, but they've used, I researched this.
Yeah.
So it's been used gold facials since Cleopatra. But here's the thing.
Like we know.
Well, see, I like the history of makeup.
It was like on the side of somewhere.
But
on the side of a
she did
a
the milk baths too, which
that
the
was
milk
also,
baths
I
is
think
good.
That's Elizabeth Taylor's movie.
Oh,
I don't think they were just thinking of something decadent and outrageous.
I think we knew this about, her, though.
But the milk really works because milk is lactic acid, which is an alpha hydroxy acid, the most mild, is derived from milk. So she had that going on. But when it came to the makeup, this was like an interesting makeup bit of history. Mm-hmm. The reason why the Egyptians had the round oval makeup on their eyes.
Yeah, there's a charcoal.
Because they started with lead and then they would get irritated and have to put more more to cover up the irritation. So
holy
that's,
shit. They would use ground up lead?
Well, that's what they used. They used lead.
Oh, I always thought it was charcoal.
Even in the 1600s, when you think about Queen Elizabeth with that white makeup, a lot of that was lead-based.
Lead-based, And so their skin, they had to put more to cover up the irritation.
And as a drag queen, you think you're sacrificing a lot. British aristocracy and monarchy, they drop dead because of their makeup.
Oh, I know. I totally
makeup, beauty is deadly.
Oh my gosh. I told my brother, because we were watching like a movie with the Victorian era, And I said, oh, don't you wish we could all dress like that again? He's like, yeah, and wear the wigs and have all the lice. That would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why they wore the wigs.
And you get gonorrhea and you can't cure it. Right. Syphilis and you go crazy.
Right. Speaking of the vaccine guy.
Stacey, is there any benefit to having gold as a facial? Like the gold itself? It just seems like it's just a reason to charge more money for
something. I think it's just a gimmick.
Glamour.
I really think it's a gimmick. I looked up it and I just think it's a gimmick. I mean, it looks here $1,000 for a treatment to $1,660 for one treatment.
And so can we get like a meh sound?
Like Market, yeah. that one's baloney.
Okay. How about a vampire facelift? Kim Kardashian's favorite type of facelift that she's notorious for doing on social media. This goes for about $2,000 per treatment, and basically what they're doing is they're injecting your face, your own blood
in your face, yeah,
plasma actually, and the procedure is said to rejuvenate your facial tissue by stimulating collagen.
Well, stimulating collagen you can do in a lot of different ways, and that's wonderful.
Vampire facelift, does it work or not?
Because what's the purpose of stimulating the collagen?
Okay, so when you stimulate by massage or some of those different alpha hydroxy acids, you stimulate the production of cell renewal, and you stimulate the collagen synthesis, so your skin becomes stronger. So massage is a really good part, that's a really good part because it brings the circulation, gets it going. Even the yoga is good for that.
So exercise and fitness.
Yeah, exercise and fitness.
But in terms of like injecting, Mark found a little thing that pricks your skin on the end of the
microneedling.
You didn't get one online, did you?
I did, yes.
Uh-oh.
Why?
because there's... if you want one, I can get you a professional one.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
Why should we be buying... These look like basically the things at Domino's Pizza they use to treat the dough.
Yes.
It's basically a wheel with a lot of little needles on it.
Spikes on it. The idea behind it is that, you know, the needles go into the collagen level of your skin, and the collagen is important because it kind of like holds everything together.
Yes.
So when you see somebody with a really saggy face, a big reason is because their collagen not holding it tight.
Yeah, that's what happens as we age.
As we age. And so this thing kind of is supposed to make it so more tight. The thing is that what I was also reading after I bought it, I was reading more about it, and one doctor said that you really need a much longer needle
The needle size is very important, and you really should get it done professionally. Like, people are doing dermaplaning and getting these razors online.
What's dermaplaning?
Dermaplaning is like a razor that's it's almost like taking a straight razor over your face.
Okay, I've shaved my whole face before to kind of like
exfoliate. Well, actually, when you're shaving, every time you shave, you're exfoliating. Mm-hmm. So this area too. So that's, you know, that's the thing for guys. Guys actually age better 15 years.
Because of shaving their face, the reason is testosterone. Oh, testosterone's actually very... I thought estrogen made your skin
softer. It's the androgens in the testosterone that make men age better because I looked this up.
Men also have thicker collagen.
Collagen, more sebum production, which keeps you moist.
Which is the oil, right?
It's the oil.
I'm really impressed that you know all this stuff. Like, you're like a scientist.
How many notes did you take for today's podcast?
This is part of my business, so I want to know.
Yeah.
So of course, the intrinsic aging, as we age, we lose collagen, but men have more, they produce it longer.
Mm-hmm. And African Americans typically have a good amount of collagen too, and that's why they say black don't crack. Right?
Well, so here's the thing about them aging really well. Mm-hmm. Melanin is a natural sunblock.
Ah, yeah.
So that's your natural sunblock. So even though a dark skinned person can still get sunburned, the sun is 90% of the damage that happens to the skin for aging. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a lot of melanin in your skin, you've got protection. Mm. So that's a good thing.
So the vampire facelift, no to that.
I say no.
So give me a buzz.
I say no.
I lost my buzzer.
No. Okay.
You are a fan of this, actually. The next one is a Thai face slapping.
Yes.
It goes for $350, but, you know,
I'll slap you for free.
That is way too much money. And it's
too much money.
And it's so easy to do.
Hold on, let me describe it for the listeners here.
Okay.
So it's a rare beauty treatment, not so rare if you're, married to Mark. Where in Thailand is said to tighten your facial muscles, erase wrinkles, and reverse signs of aging. One 15-minute session at San Francisco's Tata Salon costs $350 and has become really popular within certain celebrity circles.
$350 for one side of your face? And so what
for
you're supposed
15 minutes.
So you're just supposed to have the one side done and not the other side?
So are they just, are they gently slapping? It's not like Joan Crawford's like, I am not one of your fans!
No, it's not that slapping. It's more
you
like...
You can go up to teriyaki and do that and then you get the treatment for free. To your sister,
I would love to do that. No, I ask for him facials a lot, and he's like, "No, I'm not in the mood."
But not the Thai slapping. Kind.
No, but I would like to do that on him. No, it's not. It's not what it's. I do it in my normal facials. It's a simple technique that is just Tep Omen. It also is the same thing, helping stimulate the skin, doing a little tapping.
So you're doing it gently.
Gently, because
you're not slapping them like a
campy. You're tapping. It's Tep Omen. It's a form of massage that also helps detox the skin, which helps with puffiness.
It's circulation.
Circulation.
So this is a plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one article I read about it, the woman said that she felt like more invigorated after it happened. It's, it's the blood rushing to your face.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I heard that college students like to, huff on stuff or, and then slap each other because they're feeling a little numb when they're high or something.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like,
that's weird.
And I could see that, being sort of like... Because it stimulates adrenaline, too, to get your friends slapping you. I never got into that, but I do know some people who did. And I know, family members who are into slapping as a recreational...
Really?
Fetish, yeah. And I was just like, that's
weird.
I don't
want to be in pain.
I got plenty of slaps on my face from my father when I was a kid.
I'm slapped enough, thank you.
Yeah. Now, this is another one that a lot of celebrities swear by it. Bee venom. And a two-hour consultation costs $225. Follow-up appointments are $100 each. And basically, it's not like they're pulling out bees from a beehive and stinging you. This is a mask containing bee venom, and it performs all the effects of Botox without using a needle. Kate Middleton swears by it, and she says it helps reduce her face wrinkles.
Also, Victoria Beckham and Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, because she's the organic
queen. Gwyneth Paltrow!
She's into everything.
She's such a weirdo.
She's off this conversation. Anything she has to say, I'm not going to take seriously.
Right.
Goop.
Right. But
is there any truth to this idea that the irritation from bee venom can... I guess the idea of Botox is that it's relaxing the muscles of your face, and therefore you're not going to have wrinkles, right?
Right.
So this would plump up the wrinkle, but it wouldn't last as long as Botox, I don't think. But I've never had it done. I don't know much about it. I just did a little research.
Don't you want to not plump up your wrinkles? Don't you want to smooth them?
Well.
Relax them?
You lose fat in your, for me,
The bee venom makes you lose fat.
No, the bee venom plumps you up.
As you get older, you lose
So
fat.
When you get older, you lose,
Your face becomes skinnier.
Right. So you want to plump that up a little bit.
Oh.
It's not, I would say it would help with wrinkles too, but plump, that's what I need. I need plump because I lost some.
Some filler? Would you get filler?
Funny story. I went in for a consultation and I'm kind of like, I don't really want to go there. I was unsure. So I just went in to see. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and I had the consultation and there's these two really nice ladies and I'm in there 15 minutes and all I wanted was to fill in some laugh lines. That's all I wanted. And by the time I walked out of there, they wanted to give me cheek implants and there was a $3,000 bill. We want to do this too. And I just walked out of there
shell shocked.
Ran.
Sticker shock.
It wasn't even sticker shock. It was I'm not changing my face. I'm just going to, like the rest of the human beings ever on the planet, I'm going to get old and die. Mm. And I, you know.
Well, with the cheek implants, you know, the thing about the is it lifts everything.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Would,
it stretches then, things out. And then a lot of guys, what they do is like they get little chin implants because the chin implant like lifts the double chin up a little bit.
Sure.
Makes your jaw stronger.
I mean, I could easily spend $5,000 to $10,000 a year and I wouldn't look like Justin Jedlicka. Like, people would be like, wow, Fausto, you look great. What are you doing? You know? And I went to one of the, I got a gift certificate for Botox.
Uh-huh.
And I went to one of them clinics, and it was all run by Russian fembots, Melania mm-hmm. Trump-looking ladies with giant boobs, and their faces all snatched up, and they mm-hmm. had no expression. And they
no expression.
Sit down here, Mr.
Right.
Fernos.
Right, exactly.
Look at your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's the disaster.
See, that skin, that part where you analyze the skin, I'm always really kind about it because mm-hmm. I hate that part when you yeah. go, they analyze and say, oh, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. I just say, oh, I've noticed this and we can fix it this way.
They were mad that I had a gift certificate. They were they were mad that I didn't pay for something. And they were like trying to sell me up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no. You need at least 10 cc's or whatever their, you know, mm-mm. bullshit thing. They're like,
but I have to say it's you're the lines on your forehead are much diminished.
I just did one line, you know, not a cocaine here.
Yeah, right.
The Botox in the middle of my face. And the irony is I usually Photoshop this out, so no one knows I've had anything done.
It looks like I can't
I look
see
normal.
Any.
Yeah, younger.
Like, yeah, I can't even.
I'm
tell.
Still the same old hag. That
you're not a old hag. You're beautiful. You're
but,
both. Beautiful.
But it was crazy. I wanted to develop a drag character that was based on these estheticians. That,
oh, yeah.
Like a sadomasochistic dominatrix.
You already did that with the extreme beauty treatments that you gave to Daphne Dumont all those years
ago.
Oh,
I forgot about that. Where we injected jello into your lips. Mm-hmm. You looked so good afterwards.
I did look so good. I'll show you the video afterwards. You'll
don't
love it.
Inject jello
I'll
into your lips.
I'll post it in the show notes so you guys can see it.
What? So, B-Vadam... Definitely.
I would say I would try it. It would be worth a try. I'd have to try it to know. You know, from what I've read, it looks interesting.
It seems awfully pricey, though. For how much was it?
Oh,
it's actually cheaper than Botox. So, like, basically, it's $250, and yep, then follow-up appointments are $100. And there's nothing being injected. They're just giving you something on your face.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically getting bees to jizz on your face.
Well, those bees died for you.
Yeah.
Once they give up that venom, they're dead.
Yeah, but once they sting you, they're dead too.
Yeah.
Bee venom is 7 times more valuable than gold. So like, if you can find some bees.
When we were little kids, this is how you capture a bee. Okay? When we were little kids, we would spray the bee with water, right? Because then they couldn't fly away.
Yeah.
And then you would grab them by the wing, and then you would force them to, like, we would get a little jar, a little cup, and put, like, saran wrap or cloth over it, and force them to sting that, right? And then you'd pull them away, and of course, they're going to die. But we were little kids, we didn't care.
Right.
And the stinger was left in there, and then at the end of the stinger, is this massive bubbling stuff, and you see it just like bubbling
because
it's
kidding?
Pushing the venom through the stinger.
Did you ever try to touch the venom? You could have given yourself a facial with that.
How did you think about that as a kid? Like, what?
We had seen it on television.
Science.
We've seen it on television, so we're like,
weird,
let's do
science.
It.
Don't fuck with
how
me.
How about this? French like to eat snails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Hollywood celebrities like to smear them on their skin. Mm-hmm. Katie Holmes is a big practitioner of snail and slug facials. It goes about $250 a session to keep her skin smooth, soft, and glowing.
Well,
Katie Holmes. Listen, marrying Tom Cruise is not the only crazy idea you've had.
Right. Actually, to be honest with you, I did some research. And there is a little history to the snail idea.
Are you telling me the snail facial is actually a good idea?
I think it does something, yes.
What?
So,
they don't actually put snails on your
face. They're putting snails crawling on your face.
There's two different ways. You can do the actual snails, or there's like a... The extract.
Okay.
So
I'd rather have... If I'm going to go crazy, I'm going to go full on.
You would do the snail.
Full Scientology. I want to go.
So they also would circulation mm-hmm. on the face.
Because they're sucking on and sliming
right, building
and crawling on your face.
Right, exactly.
But they're not going to crawl consistently.
It would be so weird.
You could put snacks on your face and to get them to work on certain
lettuce
areas.
Lettuce leaves?
I don't know, but guess this.
Lettuce leaf extract.
The history of it, it's been used by the ancient Greeks forever. How do you say Hippocrates?
Hippocrates.
Yes.
Hippocrates.
Crushed snails for inflamed skin, noticing skin healed quickly.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So that's a...
that's a plus.
For your booze hound in your life... Wine, say it with red wine. For $450, you can take a big soaking bath in the booze.
Yes, that is baloney.
Terry Hatcher usually likes to add a more modest glass of wine in your bath, but you can go into salons that have... probably recycle this jugs of the ouzo into your booze hole.
You know what wine is probably what's that $1 chuck wine?
It's totally $1 chuck.
Right, right.
Well, especially if you were to buy wine in volume, you can get it super cheap and not retail.
I don't think it does anything.
Mark, you said
it would probably be the equivalent to like having a bath in vinegar or something, I would imagine.
And you've done that. You put a little apple cider vinegar in your bath?
I have.
That mm-hmm. would, yeah.
So it's the same idea, and you could do it much cheaper with apple cider vinegar than... Actually, you know, sometimes vinegar is more expensive than red wine, so... why not try it at home?
Mm-hmm,
get
mm-hmm.
$1 chuck and just glug, glug, glug.
$3 chuck.
And you know, you drink,
oh, is it?
You drink half the bottle, and you don't care what you look like afterwards.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm having a great time.
Oh, yeah. See, that one I think is another kind of baloney one. I forgot to add to the snail facial.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Actually, it's a snail slime. The ingredients actually has a mix of proteins, glycolic acids, and elastin.
Oh, so it's a good thing.
So it has ingredients that do work.
What is the one thing, to wrap this idea up, the one thing that people can do right now to have better, clearer, younger-looking skin, besides the obvious exercise, eat better, sleep well, and drink water?
Okay, so for the most basic client that doesn't want to do 100 different steps.
Slapping.
I'm not slap. You could do lymphatic at home.
You want me to slap you? I'll do it for free.
I'll slap you back.
Let's just all slap each
Let's
other.
Let's all leg wrestle.
I feel so much more beautiful. Again.
I could never slap you.
Do it. Try it.
Well, like, unless you ask.
Do you have any rings on, though?
I don't.
You have long nails, so that might
No,
cut
I keep them short because it would
you
be
can slap
sanitary.
Me if you want to. We should do that in a video.
No, because I might hurt you.
You might hurt me.
She doesn't know her own strength.
Yeah.
You Detroit kids.
Yeah. Have you heard of the geisha
facial? Yeah, I looked that one up. Actually?
The geisha?
Yeah,
the geisha
it's made facial? From nightingale bird
It's only
feces.
For whores. It's only for whores. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's
no, I'm just kidding.
Nightingale, the bird excrement. Basically, it's bird poop and
bird
rice
poop,
bran
yes.
in water.
Bird poop. It's bird poop. Let me look at my notes here because I looked at that one, too.
You're going shopping for all this stuff.
Would you get
dog poop or like if someone said to you like that it smells bad but it's good for your skin?
I would probably. There's a lot of mascaras made with bat dung.
Really?
Yeah, a lot.
Allegedly, Dave Matthews
Bat guano.
Yes.
Right.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
mascara is made from bat guano.
Some of them are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't sleep at night now.
Wait, which one?
This is the most terrifying podcast we have ever done.
Which
the
one?
Guano, Nightingale, Geisha.
Oh, the Geisha. That's the one. The Geisha. Yeah. Who loved that movie?
You're like a a cheap lawyer getting ready for a.
I am a cheap lawyer
for a trial. Hold on a second. I got
order in the court.
Order.
Do we need to take a recess?
Oh, where did it go?
It's God. Down.
Don't
it's
worry
okay.
about
Never
it.
Mind.
Just
go
with
it
your instincts.
Oh yeah, because I could remember.
Use the force.
So you're right. It's made from poop. I read it and I said fecal, and then I reread it and I went what?
Nightingale poop.
Fecal?
Nightingale poop. And the thing about birds is they poop and pee out of the same hole, and their poop and pee is kind of like this the same thing, I think, right?
Yeah. It's peeing on your face, uric acid. Could that be considered a mild type of dermabrasion to some degree?
I'd have to look that one up.
I'm guessing possibly.
I don't know.
That's
urine's alkaline, right?
Urine is acidic.
Uric acid. Yes. You're right.
So you need something alkaline, I think, because I think you need...
Well, isn't well,
no, no, no. You need something acid.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be enough, though.
I could pee all over.
We could try it.
We're doing it.
Pee on me. Slap on me.
Nobody's peeing on me.
Poop, and nobody's the bill will be $5,000.
Well, I guess if you get
I gotta get into this esthetician business.
So the geisha facial. So let me tell you. So even though it's made from poop.
Yeah.
Japanese. It's been done in Japan for forever. And it does cause a little bit of lightening to the skin, and it balances, it's supposed to anyway, balance skin tone and hyperpigmentation. But I don't really, and also the Beckhams do that one too, the geisha facial.
Of course they
don't
do.
They do.
Oh, here's another thing though that actually does work. They use rice bran that has lactic acid too, mm-hmm. so it actually does work a little.
You know, when we made, Bibimbap with drag queen Kim Chi from season 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race? Or season 8 of RuPaul's mm-hmm. Drag Race. The rice that we use for Bibimbap, you know, the Korean dish, mm-hmm. you have to rinse it 3 times, right?
Oh.
And she said, like, you have to, like, in Korea, they save the water from the rinsing, and it had, like, a chalky kind of ness to mm-hmm. it. She said that the women there wash their face
yes.
with that water.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. The rice is got lactic acid in it, too. It's one of the most, it's wonderful.
I heard that you can wash your hair with leftover beer from a keg party.
I heard that too, but I never tried it.
I had a friend of mine who used to swear by it, and she always smelled really
like beer,
like a nightclub.
They used to have a shampoo called Body on Tap that supposedly had beer in it.
There's a new study that says treating the parents of anxious kids can be just as beneficial as treating the kids themselves. Parents can inadvertently perpetuate their kids' anxiety by accommodating their anxious behaviors.
Yes, absolutely. That is true.
And this is what I say is, like, if you find yourself in a, you know, mental health crisis of any kind with a family member, whether it's your spouse or you, you know, they might not want to go into therapy, but you can go into therapy.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, and part of it is, like, therapy and mental health wellness is sort of has an impact. Mm-hmm. It rubs off on people, you know. So it's sort of like the way violence can mm-hmm. be infectious, so can mental health and mental well-being can also be infectious too.
And when you talk about it more, there's less stigma mm-hmm. to it.
Mm-hmm. And if your kids are panic, probably the parents are a panic as well. That's probably part of the reason why the kids become like that.
A lot of the times, funny story about exactly that is the stress of the parent. So. When there was, you know, with the war and was going on in Nazi Germany, and these Jewish children were crying, and the mothers were going to the doctors and saying, you know, I can't get my child to, what's wrong with this child, da da da, and this was happening all over. Mm-hmm. And the doctors were saying, all my Jewish babies are crying because their mothers are under stress mm-hmm. and they can feel it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So whatever stress the mother's feeling, even during pregnancy, especially during pregnancy, that cortisol goes right into the baby. So the baby could literally be born with more cortisol, stress hormone, than another, if the mother wasn't as stressed.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm sure my mother was pretty stressed having 8 babies.
I mean, it's not like a death wish, you know, mm-hmm. like you can work with it. Like you said, with therapy and things like that. But yeah, it makes a big difference. That's when I do facials on pregnant women.
Mm.
I love it because
you're giving the baby a facial
yes.
too.
Yes. One time I cried because it was just so beautiful. She was like 8 months pregnant.
Aww.
And it was just, I felt like I was giving like massage to 2 people. It was beautiful.
Another study says that making fun of your partner can actually make your relationship better.
Heck yeah. Right? I would say yes.
That's not making fun of somebody. That's just insulting.
Right.
But I guess the idea is that a sense of humor actually helps to build a healthy relationship.
It does. And it also helps with troubled times in your life. If you can make a joke about it, then you can, then you know it's there. Even mm-hmm. though you make a joke about it, then you can address it.
I get into trouble with this at work. So, you know, I face with a lot of people who are in crisis. And sometimes I'm like trying to lighten the mood.
Right.
And they're just like, that's not funny. You know, you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh God.
I say things to him all the time. I'm like, well, obviously I'm joking. Right. Well, you sounded serious. I'm like, how would somebody say something like this?
And
you
know, not be joking.
And not be joking. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
That happens to me all the time. Cause I tell inappropriate jokes all the time. You know, like I'm always like apologizing for that. Like, oh, you know.
And you and I are in the same boat. It's just like, just keep my mouth shut. Just keep like, my mouth shut. Don't say anything.
Just keep my mouth shut. Like, I told a joke. My brother and I last night were cracking up because something I said, like, I told a really inappropriate joke that Kevin and I can joke about, and it's like funny.
Because your brother and sister.
Yeah. And he's like, you're just like me. He's like, that is so funny. But people would get so irritated. But, you know, like, it was bad. It was a bad joke, but it was funny.
You and your brother or sister, you're like, you guys have always been sort of rebels in a very conservative household.
Yes.
And to some degree, like, is that like a shared trauma that you guys sort of like bond over? Like, in sense, you're very close to Teriyaki.
Yes.
I mean, you guys share the same last name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Chosen name, the Yakis.
Yeah, just us two. And, we were really close growing up because we were only 2 years apart. So we were like best buds. I mean, since I was a kid, I've been following around my brother. He's my hero, my idol.
Well, he talks really high about you. And when I...
Well, since he's always high, that's why.
No. No, Kevin doesn't smoke pot.
But when I actually was introduced to you the first, I was like, oh, I hope she's as much fun as Teriyaki makes her out to be. And you really are, you know. You're really fun to get around, hang out with. And you're always hilarious. And you always put a smile on my face and other people's faces. And it's always...
Aw, thank you.
And, you know, sometimes people don't live up to the hype, you know.
Right, right.
And you definitely do.
Oh, thank you.
And part of it is like, you know... I imagine that you guys probably, you know, would get into trouble and ask your parent to cover up for your parents. Or I know when we got caught in New York, yeah.
My parents, like, if we did any type of crime or anything bad, it was our fault. Even if it wasn't our fault.
But did you cover for each other ever?
Did we cover for each other?
Or was that was not an option?
I don't really think so. No, we didn't cover for each other because everything was pretty obvious, you know. We always got busted. We never got out of anything.
I don't think I ever, like, my brothers or sister allowed me to get away with anything. If anything, they would rat me out.
Right. Well, my parents would totally, if we did something wrong in the eyes of anything, they would do the right thing.
Okay.
You know, well, that's good. Yeah. And even when we were kids, if we did something kind of wrong, it was still all our fault. So,
Mark, what happened to the unicorn thief?
They got caught.
So there's this guy who dressed up as a My Little Pony unicorn thief and went into a bank.
He went into a convenience store.
And
jammed open the register with a crowbar. But then when he took off, he was with somebody else. And when they were driving away, they crossed into oncoming traffic. They crashed into mailboxes, a utility pole, shrubbery, and, you know, a boulder and stuff. And then eventually went back across the street, hit a car, and then they both were just, you know, hospitalized from the event.
So they couldn't see very well outside out of that car.
No. They didn't.
They sound like smart criminals.
Captain Dance, please put all your money into the bag.
Yeah.
That's like a very dark episode of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Why would you dress up like a unicorn?
Because he's a brony.
What's a brony?
A fan of My Little Pony.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
A bro who's a fan of My Little Pony.
Male fans.
Yes. A bro,
not out of irony,
fan.
Like a genuine passion, like a excitement for children's television, and most specifically, like My Little Pony.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know some people who are brony. One drag queen was a brony. What was her name? Vajayjay, Snappin' Turtle.
Snappin' Turtle.
She was on Camp Wanakiki, and like she came on the show being like, you know, Brony's my brand, you know, and I'm just like, what? And she spent the entire week pretending like she was some South Florida tourist. and I was
so
like,
strange.
So it was like, she just came with all this unicorn stuff, and she just completely abandoned it when she got there. It was like, it's too hot. I'm just going to be walking around in flip-flops. And
speaking of your Camp Wanakiki girls, Muffy Fishback basket.
Muffy
was appointed the official drag queen for Drag Queen Story Hour.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
The national organization.
What's Muffy like? What's her, why did she get chosen?
What is she like?
She's like
giant cocks.
No, I mean, what made her, like, be the special number one?
Oh, from this, I think she reached out to the organization, or they liked what she was doing. And also, she has a background in education, too.
Muffy Fish Basket is kind of like Mr. Rogers. If Mr. Rogers was an angry, bitter drag queen who likes to drink.
And, you know, it's interesting, like...
So he's a nice drunk.
I'm really happy for Muffy because it is, you know, there's some other drag queens in town who have started something similar, but now she can be like, I'm the official one.
Right.
But it's interesting that, you know, a few months ago, there was, you know, or I believe it was like last year sometime, there's some drag queens in Houston. They had something similar. They were doing it at the library. Not much huff and, you know, not much news about it. You know, people were just going. And then one day some guy brought a gun in because he did not like the idea of drag queens talking to, you know, to reading to kids, you know, and this is somebody who would also, like, he was a real creeper. He had been in the library before. Like, he was also not just fixated on the drag queens, but he was fixated on that library. So they left there. They went to another, like, they went to a LGBT, like, welcoming church and doing something there. And we were reading things there and, you know, no problem. But then it was discovered that one of the drag queens had a history, like, they had a violation for, I think they were on the sex offenders list or something like that.
My God.
And working with kids.
Yeah. And so, like, the group as an organization is just, like, we're like, we're done. You know what I mean?
It's
like
one bad scene.
I don't want to have this, you know, this kind of attraction going on, like with the you know, because we become like the center, this focal point, a lightning rod for these crazies on the right.
That's awful.
And so, you know, and this person, I guess now they were thinking about doing like background checks, or they had done background checks, that kind of stuff. But this person was already involved in the organization, so they're just like,
that's,
we're done.
One bad seed can ruin such a great thing. You know,
I have a background in education. I'm a drag queen.
Are you on the sex offenders list?
No.
Well, then you should do it.
And I've been asking all these people who organize them, like, hey, give me a chance. I can do it. You know, I got the costume. I know the book that I want to read.
What book do you want to read?
I want to read Where the Wild Things Are. That was written by Maurice Sendak. He was a gay, openly gay children's book author. And we have the outfit for it.
Oh, the outfit, too?
I can dress up as, like, one of the wild things, you know? So be, like, the drag queen wild thing. And I can be going to the kids and be like, please don't leave. We love sir you so. We'll gobble you up.
Oh, you'd be great. They love animated people.
You know, one of Maurice Sendak's fans wrote a fan letter to him. And Maurice Sendak wrote to him back. And then he wrote back. I guess he found out. He drew a little thing, like a little drawing in a fan letter, and send it back to the kid, and the kid liked it so much he ate it. He just stuck it in his mouth and swallowed it.
Oh, kid.
And now he's the wild thing.
And he said, Maurice Sendak said, that was the best compliment I've ever received.
That's cute. Oh, wow. That's so cute. That's
I would love to do that. I worked as an elementary school, after school language teacher. I've asked Muffy to do it several times, but
she not want you?
She's worried that I'd be too good at it and might steal her gig.
That's the thing. It's like these drag queens are all threatened by somebody upstaging them.
Well, so are women, too. Women, it's so annoying.
I'm like, I will do it for free. I'm doing it for service.
Do it for the tips.
I would do it for the service to children, you know? It's like,
why don't you just get dressed up and drag some Sunday morning, go out on the front steps and be like, kids, do you want me to read you a story?
Wander the neighborhood and knock on doors.
Just come down here to the basement where we all float.
Sure, come on in. Come on in.
So the Venice Biennial, which is, you know, a big art show, it's one of the big art shows in the world, is going to have a cruising pavilion this year. Do you know what cruising is?
No.
Cruising is when gay men hook up with other men for sex.
In bathrooms.
Like out in public,
cafeterias.
Libraries?
Steam rooms.
Now, cruising usually describes, you know, it's sexual encounters between gay men and public spaces, and so because this is part of like the architectural biennial, they want to recognize that. and have that within the thing.
Sounds like a hell of a lot of
fun.
So
it's described as saying, relegated to the realm of depravity, it feeds off its most structuring disciplinary features. And the bathrooms built for cleanliness and parks made for peacefulness, and also through the figures of the policeman and the flaneur, the modern city is cruised, dismantled, and made into a drag of itself. The dungeon becomes playful, the labyrinth protective, and the baths erotic.
Well, I see nothing wrong with that. I don't.
Have you ever picked up somebody for sex, like at a park or like a...
No.
At the DMV?
Almost on a train.
Really?
Almost on a train.
Yeah. Did you ever get pulled over by a police officer and, you know, flirt with him to get out of a ticket?
See, I have a... When it comes... Yeah, I was never good with authority.
So you were like, fuck you!
Yeah. Like, I wasn't speeding.
Fucker.
I wasn't speeding. Just give me the ticket. Like, I never tried.
But you actually did almost hook up for sex one time?
Almost, but I didn't. Never randomly. The only time I ever had, like, that was, like, one night stands and, you know, when I was drinking.
Do you guys have any female... Because we usually very familiar with the stories of men and their sexuality, but mm-hmm. one thing that's never talked about is women's sexuality when it comes to sexual... addiction or dysfunction.
Right, right.
And I had a friend, well, a guy that I was dating, his female roommate, she was a self-professed sex addict.
Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend who is.
And she would pick up guys. This is what she told me she liked to do. She would pick up guys at the park. And she was a prima ballerina with one of the major dance companies.
So I'm sure she had no problem.
She is a very beautiful young woman, and she would just pick up guys, bring them to her house, and they would put Benoit balls inside her anus and her pussy.
Wow.
Wow.
And Benoit, for people not familiar with those, they're almost like a little bit smaller billiard balls attached with a string. And so the pleasure is pulling them out. Pop, 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 bloop, bloop, bloop.
I would try that. I would try. I've never tried it, but I'd try it. But I don't understand how women can do it because...
She was addicted to Benoit balls with strangers.
Well, my girlfriend, she's a sex addict and mm-hmm. love addict. So... She would go on Craigslist and she would go on these like bad sites and have sex with these guys that were just strangers and then like fall in love with them in a couple weeks. And then she would like tell them and they would run away and she would wonder, you know, what was going on. And then she'd get all mad and like about it. It's like, you know, if you're going to do random sex, you know, from, I don't know, I always have that walk of shame if I ever did.
But part of it, I think, is that sometimes we thrust upon women this double standard of prudency that men don't have, you know? So if you're a woman and you're having sex the same way that a guy does, and you're enjoying it and you don't feel like it's getting in the way of your life, Who's to say that's not the way to go?
Well, see, that's what you told me, and my brother told me the same thing. Like, it's fine to do that. Even my therapist today told me that. It's fine. If you enjoyed yourself, it's fine.
You have that human connection.
You're an adult. We had fun. But the thing is like, okay, then when I finally said, okay, well, where's this going? You know, I hate asking that question.
Oh, you're like,
guys never
dating.
Want to answer.
No,
they don't
want
to answer. So
answer.
He said, well, I just want to grow into like a friendship. And I'm like, well, once you realize you're my friend, then we can have sex. And then he never called me again.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, guys can do that.
Guys do not like to be pressured into like, where is this relationship
and
going?
I didn't want to pressure him. I just didn't want to waste my time because I don't have a lot of time. I'm in the, you know, I'm old.
Don't say
that. I love how you're like,
that's hysterical. That's hysterical. So Sesame Street put a little picture up and said, you're stuck, you know, it's got Oscar Grover.
On their social media?
On their social media. Yeah, I think this is Twitter. There's Cookie Monster. And who's this red one? Is that Elmo?
Elmo.
Is that Elmo?
That's Elmo.
Okay, so he
goes, you don't know who Elmo looks like.
No, he looks just as big as the other guys, and he's tiny, right, compared to them, isn't
that
Elmo?
That's like not recognizing, you know,
it's after
Bird.
My time. So anyway, they ask innocently enough, you're stuck on a desert island, and you can pick one of these Sesame Street friends to come with you. Who are you going to pick, and why? And some people are like, oh, I'd pick Grover because he's had a lot of jobs, he can do a lot of stuff. Oscar the Grouch because maybe his trash can will come in handy, you know. Somebody's like, oh, I'll do Grover because he likes to give hugs.
Yeah.
And then it starts to get dark, and Molly Jong Fast goes, is there one that tastes like chicken? And Sarah Beetle's like, who's the fattest one?
Cookie, you would eat them.
Yeah. And the Cookie Monster based solely on caloric densities, but they all look delicious.
Delicious?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I would think that Muppets would not be good to eat because there's so much fur.
Mm. Well, you skin them. You don't eat the fur. You eat what's inside.
Is that how it's done?
Right.
But they're fictional characters, right? So it's like the cannibalism there, right?
Right. Mm.
I mean, the one, if you're going to eat one of them, it's got to be Big Bird or Snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus.
He's a woolly mammoth.
Right.
He's big.
He's a big one.
He's the only, of all the Muppets that ever existed, the only one that's actually been consumed by humans is Snuffleupagus.
Well, isn't
what about the bird?
Big Bird is a golden condor, isn't he?
I'm sure do humans eat condors?
I'm sure
I don't think so.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Well,
that
you can, but it's not been like a cow or a chicken or, you know. Okay. Although there is Clarabelle the cow.
Well, there you go.
Then there's Gonzo's chicken.
And Miss Piggy's a pig.
Miss Piggy.
Kermit's a frog.
And they do a lot of jokes about Miss Piggy being bacon.
Mm.
And she's like, who are you here? Yeah. That's the best I can do.
That was a good one, though. That was a good one.
Thank you. Stacey Yockey, you are always a flavor, savor of fun.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure having you.
If you want me to slap you afterwards for beauty treatments, I won't charge you anything.
Just do light slapping, right?
It's simple. We're going to do a facial. I brought some products.
We're going to do a facial?
We're going to do it like a mini facial.
Well, all right.
Guys, I want to remind you that Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of fabulous people like you. Guess what we have?
What do we have?
We're teasing our Patreon page. It's up live. You can become a supporter on Patreon for as little as $1 and get notified when the new podcasts come in. And we're going to start in the coming weeks posting things from our vault where you can become part of our world of fun.
Fun.
At patreon.com/feastoffun. It's all brand new. And we're going to be starting to posting Cooking with Drag Queens just in days from now. And we're going to be posting teasers and all sorts of goodies. It's all live, honey.
It's all live. Very excited about this. We're going to have so many great things available to you, and I think it's a great way. You love what I do. Well, you love what we do here at Feast of Fun, and we're going to be doing more stuff just for you at Patreon.
And we're going to be live streaming more often, and it's going to be only through our Patreon, because they have a little portal where you can actually, like, live stream when we do the podcast as we do them.
Portals are everything.
Portals, honey.
Portals, where do they go?
Go into the portal.
You can download the Patreon app and you can become a supporter of Feast of Fun as little as $1. But, you know, of course, the better stuff is a little bit. If you spend more money, honey, if you make it rain, we will make your life delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Stacey Yockey.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I always love seeing you guys. They're awesome.
I love being here with you.
Bye.
Bye, guys.